So with that, let's go to our scripture reading here this morning. And I'm going to read the entire first chapter of 1 John. It's very, very short, and it is only 10 verses. 1 John chapter 1, and I'm going to read the entire chapter. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. 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 Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And remember, these are written by the Apostle John, the man that spent over 3 years with Jesus. And he says this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us." Let's pray. Father, there's a lot here in these 10 verses, and I know I'm not going to have the opportunity to cover everything that's being said. But Father, I want to cover a little piece of it. So I pray, Lord, that the little part that I cover and your scriptures will speak to us all here this morning and transform us from the inside out, that we can be a little more Christ-like in our walk with you. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. Today is our 45th week, for those who are counting, 45th and final week in our journey through the New Testament in 2019. Well, aren't we supposed to go 52 weeks if we go throughout the year? Well, because we took a Sunday off here and there for other priorities, or maybe because of weather, we did not cover everything. Nor did we cover the book of Revelation. You might notice that we didn't cover that in our reading. Well, here's a good question. Well, why not, Mike? Why didn't we cover the book of Revelation? And here's my answer. It's a very simple one. I don't know if it's going to be a good one or not. But until I can get a comfortable handle on the truths and on the prophecy that is contained within that book, I'd rather not present you with bad theology based on speculation. So I promise before I leave Beech Grove Church, whenever that'll be, we'll cover the book of Revelation and talk about those things. But right now, I just don't feel comfortable speaking on that. I hope each and every one of you have enjoyed the daily New Testament readings that have been in your bulletin and the Bible Jeopardy questions that we've had this past year. And as you know, all those are up on the Beech Grove website, and you can look at all those. Well, Michael, we're going to do this again next year. We're going to do Bible Jeopardy next year. Yes, we will do Bible Jeopardy, and our daily reading is going to be here and there and there. We're not going to go through the entire New Testament next year, but we are going to start off, as you see, we're going to go through the book of Genesis, and then who knows what books we'll go to after that. But our Bible Jeopardy questions will be from whatever the reading was from this past week. But I don't know if I'll be preaching from what we just read the past week. So next year is kind of a little bit in limbo, as they say. But let's worry about next year. Let's talk about today. Our title of today's message, You May Have Fellowship With Us. That's what we'll talk about today. In verse 3 of today's reading from 1 John chapter 1, are these exact words, you may have fellowship with us. It is a conditional statement, and it's conditional because it has the word may in it. The author, the Apostle John, does not say you can have fellowship with us. He says that you may have fellowship with us. And there's a big difference between the word can and the word may. Let me tell you a real quick short story. Back from fourth grade in St. Gwendolyn's grade school, when Sister Theolinda was my teacher. I still remember this to this day, raising my hand. Sister Theolinda, can I go to the bathroom? And Sister Theolinda said, Mr. Owen, it's not can you go to the bathroom, it's may you go to the bathroom. Anybody can go to the bathroom, but only people in my class that have permission may go to the bathroom. Boy, those things just stick with you, don't they? My goodness. So, yeah, she let me go, in case you're wondering. She did let me go. But there's a big difference between the word may and the word can. The word can denotes ability, while the word may denotes permission or meeting a set of conditions. And what John is saying here in these verses here out of 1 John is to have fellowship with us, and us refers to other believers, you must meet a series of conditions. And that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. Let's talk about this thing called fellowship. And let's talk about these conditions that John puts forth that we may have fellowship with him, other believers. First, a little bit of history. We know that John is writing this letter so that others may have fellowship, verse number 3. And he says this in verse 4, so that their joy may be complete. It's another thing that will happen when we have fellowship with the Father. Our joy will be complete. He says this, what we have heard, what he has seen, what he has looked at, and what he has touched, he testifies to these things that others may have this fellowship. John was an eyewitness to the Son of God. So let's answer a few questions here this morning. What is fellowship? Let's look at that word. Now, I have a definition inside your bulletin on the inside top right-hand corner. Webster's definition number 3 of fellowship is this, a company of equals or friends. A company of equals or friends. So if we take that definition that Webster gives us and apply that in a biblical sense, now let's ask this question. What is biblical fellowship? We know this, it is a company of friends that are equal. Well, equal in what way? Equal in that we all have something in common. So what is it that we have in common? Because that will be the fellowship that we have. And our first fill in the blank would say this. Biblical fellowship is the company of friends who have in common a restored relationship with the Father through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. I kind of like to use my arm when I say this. Our relationship with our Father at one time when we sinned had been severed, and that needed to be restored, and that's restored through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And we are not a company per se, but when we talk about things biblically, we say that we are a body of believers. Then as a body of believers, we all become friends. We know that we are friends because we all have something in common. We all have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, and that makes us all equal. If we were to go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, And this is a verse that's quite often taken out of context, but it says this, Galatians 3:29. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So to have this fellowship, it does not make any difference. It does not matter your gender. It does not matter your social status. It does not matter the color of your skin. And it does not matter your ethnicity. We are all one in our salvation through Christ. And we must remember that none of those things, either our gender, social status, our color of skin, or our ethnicity, are conditions that we need to meet for biblical fellowship, to have biblical fellowship. So a lot of people would consider those conditions. Did you know that the Mormon Church did not allow blacks until 1975? Interesting. So let's get back on task here. It does not matter your gender or your social status or any of those things. But there are conditions to have fellowship with the Father, with Jesus Christ, and with other believers. So what are those conditions? This morning we're going to look at five characteristics of those who qualify to have fellowship with John, with the Father, with other believers. Now, if we were to look at this book of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, one of the John's biggest issues that he wants to address in all three of these letters is to discern between the real disciples and false disciples, because false disciples were many in those days, as they are today. He wanted to figure out who is the true follower of Christ. So who is the real deal? How can you discern? How can you tell them apart? The world, something you already know, the world is full of fakes who think they are right with Jesus. And what John is saying in this small epistle here in 1 John is that your life will bear fruit. It will show proof that you are in fellowship with us, with other believers. And here he sets the conditions of biblical fellowship and the fruit of a true believer. So let's look at these five things. I believe I have these in your bulletin. So let's look at these. First one, number one, if we're going, one who has fellowship with the Father will admit that they are a sinner. Point number one, they will admit that they are a sinner. And that's pretty straightforward. That's pretty much what it says. A person will never believe that they need a Savior until they admit that they have violated the laws of God. And believe me, there are many people walking this earth today who will never say that they are sinners, only because if you do, they want to refuse to acknowledge a higher authority other than themselves. You see, to these people, a higher authority will hold a person accountable. And God, as our authority, will hold us accountable to his word. And people do not want to be held accountable to the word of God. And John includes this in his criteria for fellowship because there were people at that time who denied ever violating any kind of divine law. I'm going to tell you something you already know. A person will never have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ and fellowship with other believers if they never acknowledge the fact that they are sinners. It's just never going to happen, because the Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Now, another quick little story. Sometimes when you're a pastor, you learn lessons the hard way of things, what to do and what not to do. One day I learned at my former church to never ask the congregation a question. Because I was preaching that day on something very similar to this, and I asked this question, which I thought was a rhetorical question, one with an obvious answer. I said, is there anybody in here without sin? And yes, one man raised his hand. That's all I'll say. Don't ever ask the congregation questions that you think have obvious answers. Okay, is there anybody in here without sin? And I see this hand going up. What do you do? Okay, anyways. So let's go to the next one. The next fill in the blank. One who has fellowship with the Father will confess their sins to God. And now, will confess their sins to God. Now, we've got to be careful here because we need to know this, and I think I've said it many, many times before. A priest or another person cannot forgive you of your sins. Amen. They cannot do that. That's bad theology. Only God can forgive a person of his or her sins. Even the Pharisees knew that. So a believer always goes directly to God with his or her sins and asks for forgiveness. Now, if we look at this at a human level, sure, we can and we should forgive each other when we have been wronged by another person. But again, that's at a human level. We can do that. But we're dealing with a spiritual issue here. We're dealing with sins. And sins violate the laws of God. And they violate a holy God. And only God can forgive sins. And only through a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. See, I don't mind you filling in the blank. I'm just never going to ask you a question, okay? So we must confess our sins directly to God. The next one, number 3. One who has fellowship with the Father will walk in the light and not in darkness. Now, I know this encompasses a whole lot of different things, so I'll try to keep this pretty simple. In the biblical sense, light always refers to truth, while darkness always refers to falsehood and error, E-R-R-O-R. Light always refers to holiness, which is something that we as Christians are always pursuing, while darkness always refers to sin, which is something that we as Christians really want to avoid. We strive to walk as Jesus walked. And we know this, we will never be perfect, but we are certainly on a journey. And if you want to know how Jesus walked, I think it's pretty simple. Just go back and read the 4 Gospels and pay close attention to the words and the actions of Jesus. I know he's a pretty tough act to follow, but that is, again, the journey that we are on. And it's a process that we are all in called sanctification, that we walk in the light. We don't walk in darkness. And our 4th fill in the blank. One who has fellowship with the Father will have love for one another. This sometimes can be a tough one. Why? Because there sometimes are just some people we just don't like. Or am I in that boat all by myself? There are just some people we just don't like. But to have fellowship with the Father, we must put those feelings aside. We are to love our neighbor as ourself, and that doesn't mean the person who lives next to you back wherever your house is at. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us, he even goes the extra mile. He says that we are to love our enemies. Do we have to? Do we have to love our enemies? Do we have to love our neighbor? Do we have to love people who are not like us? Yes, we do. And I know it's tough. It's tough. And if I have to do it, you have to do it. Okay? It's something that we need to work on daily. And that doesn't mean we have to become their best friend. But you are allowed to unfollow them on Facebook, okay? That is okay if you do that. Just to give you another quick little story. This past week, my wife and I spent in Dallas, Texas with our son, and he was taking us on the train called the DART system into downtown Dallas, because I wanted to go visit Dealey Plaza down there, the site of the Kennedy assassination. On the way back, there was a man in the seat behind Gail and I. And first thing I'm thinking is, I just don't like being here. Felt uncomfortable. Felt like, oh my goodness, what's this guy going to do to me? And he was kind of had his head down like that the whole time. And then I finally get it. Here comes the tap on the shoulder. Lord, couldn't you have put me on another train? He taps me on the shoulder and he asked me, will God forgive me if I commit suicide? Well, I'm not going to tell you how that conversation went, but it was one of those divine appointments. Remember we talked about divine appointments? And there I was thinking, I don't like this guy because he smells bad. He has his shoes off. And he looks suspicious. When all the time, God was putting someone in my life to have the opportunity to share the gospel message with. Do we have to love each other? Yes, we do. Even the people who aren't just like us. So, what do we got so far? If we say that we have fellowship with the Father, we will admit, those who have, will admit that they are sinners. They will confess their sins to God. They will walk in the light and not in darkness. And they will have love for one another. And we have time for one last one, number five. One who has fellowship with the Father will persevere to the end. They will persevere to the end. Somewhere along the way, somewhere along the timeline, the fakes will fall away. And the real deals will stick around to the end. And I've spoken about this plenty of times in here. It's called, some people call it the perseverance of the saints. And some people call it once saved, always saved. True believers will persevere to the end, and they will never fall away. And this was something that John was seeing in those who personally followed Christ. When the teaching got tough, such as in John chapter 6, or while persecution was near, such as in Matthew 13, or when people missed the world and they missed all its pleasures, or when wealth looked more appealing than Jesus, that's when the fakes started falling away. Folks, some people jump on the Jesus bandwagon, but they only stick around for a while. They give lip service, but they never have heart service. They profess the faith, but they never possess the faith. And this verse says it all in 1 John chapter 2, 19. It'd be in the next chapter if we kept on reading. I like this verse, and John says this, because he was a witness to it. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. And this verse says it all. It applied then, and it applies now. So, just as a refresher, who has fellowship with the Father? If we claim that we have fellowship with the Father, the true Christian, the true believer, will do these five things according to what we find just in 1 John alone. We will admit that we are sinners. We will confess their sins to God. We will walk in the light and in darkness. And I know that that encompasses a whole lot of other things. We will have love for one another, not just certain people, but for everyone. And we will persevere to the end. So we may have fellowship with John and with the other apostles and with the other believers and with the Father only if these criteria right here are met and if we display this kind of fruit in our life. So now comes the time of application. What about us? What about me? What about you? Do we pass the test? And there's the test right there. I don't know about you, but I want to have fellowship with the Father. And I know this, I will be passing the test. And I hope all of us do too. Let's go to God in prayer.